Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
I am very, very excited to have this conversation, because as we go from, I guess, musical maestros, we go to a clock maestro. Adam Pilkowitz, very good morning.
Awesome to have you in studio. Thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure.
And I can tell you our listeners are thinking, hold on.
We know this voice.
That voice. Where do we know that voice from?
So you know the voice from Hatsola, obviously, and Burgess Plumbing, and a couple of others.
Do you love doing that?
What, voiceovers?
Yes, because you're very good at it.
Thank you very much. I do love them because they're such fun.
Yes.
I've started as a performing artist in my career. So I was on the big musicals for Peter Turin and Hazel Feldman, and I've done them. I've done it for 15 years. I was on stage.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk about it another time, but I've got another business which we'll speak about.
Which we want to focus on now, which is the clock maestro.
Yes.
So it's apparently antiquarian horologist.
An antiquarian horologist. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of this.
Well, I'm obsessed with clocks, and I haven't.
Sure. So horology is obviously the study of time, and an antiquarian is someone who is an antique specialist. So if you put them together, you've got an antiquarian horologist, which is someone who specializes in vintage clocks, antique clocks, watches, pocket watches of yesteryear.
So this is something I've never told listeners, but my late grandfather was a watchmaker, and apparently a very bad watchmaker.
Okay.
They used to.
There are a lot of them out there.
Yeah. Well, he's no longer out there.
No.
Well, he's out there.
Yes, he's out there, but
I don't know where
that is.
I'm
saying in
living
terms.
They used to call him apparently watchmaker, watching breaker.
Watch breaker. Yeah, clock breaker, watch breaker.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but it's so interesting because you obviously need to be quite. Your brain needs to function quite well from an engineering perspective.
Yep. Yep.
Your fine motor probably needs to be very good. How did you get into this?
So I think like every Jewish grandson in life, I think my granny had a clock.
Oh gosh,
you know?
Yes.
And I had a gran who had two clocks that were bequeathed to me, and they basically they stopped the day she died, something like that. You know what I mean? Of that sort of nature. Mm. And I took them to the clockmaker who she used to go to for 30 years. And I saw his workshop and I nearly had a kazatska because it was just so beautiful. It was amazing. And as a kid, I used to take things apart and could never put them back together again.
Right.
But I used to love looking at the workings of things. So I've always had a mechanical mind.
That's so interesting.
Even though I'm artistic. I mean, this is also artistic in its own way.
Mm.
I basically forced him to take me on as his apprentice, which I did. And here I am almost 10 years later.
Unbelievable. Is it clocks or clocks and watches?
So it's clocks. Clocks of all types, whether they are normal kitchen clocks with quartz mechanisms or mechanical, which is my specialty, mechanical clocks.
It doesn't have to be clocks.
It will be any clock, right? I'll try and do my best in terms of that, but my specialty is the mechanical. And in terms of watches, we do watches, we do pocket watches, we do music boxes, we do phonographs, we do His Master's Voice record players, we do anything that's got mechanics in it. So it's just, it's something, you open something and it's like opening
up. Have you seen our antique radio?
Out there, that's a tube radio. That's quite a story.
Is that? I don't even know.
Beautiful. I mean, I haven't looked inside one, but I'm sure I could.
Yes.
And then we also do automata. I don't know if you've heard of automata.
No.
They basically wind up bird cages with birds that tweet and move their heads.
So what is it, do you think, that draws people to clocks and watches? I mean, I'm obsessed with it, and I don't even know why.
I'll tell you why. There's a history behind it. I think that everyone has a cell phone. Everyone has their smartwatches today. So everyone bought a smartwatch, and can you see where it is?
It's at home and not charged because...
Correct. So
I'm trying to like it. I just don't.
Correct, because it's not something that is legit. Mm. And I don't mean this with disrespect to the technological side of things. It's but there's almost no legitimacy to it, if that makes sense. A watch or a clock has been made by centuries with centuries of history and mechanics and making behind it. And when you look at a cell phone, it's just like, okay, cool, it just tells the time. But when you look at a watch, you can see that there's craftsmanship behind it. You can see that there is thought, the way in which they've created each pinion, each wheel, each, you know, the little bit of guilloche on the side of it or on the back of it, the beautiful gilding or if you're lucky, real gold, which a lot of watches or some of the clocks have gilding, real mercury gilding, which is made with mercury and gold, and they fire it in a kiln, and that's why old clockmakers had no hair and got blind, and because the mercury disappeared, and you know, it's very poisonous. But anyway, like, so I think people are interested in it because there's something tangible with it, as opposed to an intangible technology, if that makes sense.
So I guess I think it's Patek Philippe that have the, you never own a Patek.
Yeah.
You hold it for the next generation.
For the next generation, correct.
And that, I guess, talks to anybody correct. That loves watches correct. And clocks.
Correct, 100%. I mean, these pieces are so vastly different from each other. You've got such different pieces that you can get. You can get mantle clocks, which are like Napoleonic in terms of their look, Napoleon's hat. You've got lantern clocks, which are the oldest clock that I've done is from 1620.
I was going to ask you that. What's the oldest? From 1620?
It's a lantern clock. Wow. Basically, it looks like a lantern. It sits on the wall. It's what we call a wag on the wall. Yes. So it wags the pendulum on the wall. It uses one weight. It's got one hand. I've actually got it at the house. You should come and have a look.
Yes,
at it.
Yeah.
It is for sale, anyone. It's for sale.
There we go. Yeah.
So that's one of the oldest ones. It's just unbelievable, and it chimes on the hour, like it's supposed to. It still runs. It still tells the time, and that's what you can't sometimes do with a computerized piece of equipment. Do you know what I mean? It may not last you 400 years.
So my late mom was a collector, and she would also have all of the grandchildren every Thursday night for supper. But nobody could go home until they'd wound all of their clocks.
Oh, right.
Every Thursday night was clock winding.
Clock winding night. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, it's very much a thing. Do you know what I mean? It's a nice tradition to have at home.
Yes.
You know, you go, okay, Sunday.
Well, our kids remember that they would.
I mean, I remember my grandmother's cuckoo clock. I hate them. I don't want to work on them. I'll work on them if I have to.
Yes.
But they're so difficult to work on. There's so many things that you've got to deal with from a what's-her-name perspective, a technical perspective, because there's two bellows that go cook. One goes cook and the other one goes coo, right? So, and then there's a gong. So it goes gong, cuckoo,
We don't
gong,
think of
cuckoo.
These things.
And
I just think of it as
the bird comes out.
Tacky.
It is a bit tacky.
It is a bit.
But if you've got a nice one,
yes.
a real proper one
yes.
that is not plastic or anything else inside, yes. it's fantastic.
Have the clocks kept their value over the years?
It That's depends on the clock.
Right.
Okay. But to answer your question, short answer, no.
Right.
The value at the moment, unfortunately, the
industry. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think people have moved on to watches. You know, and people don't want to wind a clock once a week. People are actually bloody lazy.
Okay, stop it. Jeez.
Right.
Wow.
I'm telling you, you're lazy.
I know.
And it's fine. I'll come and sort you out. Basically, people get, they're a bit lazy to wind the stuff up once a week, which they shouldn't be.
Yes.
And, I mean, back in the day, every king, every queen, every room in the house of those big manor houses had clocks.
Yes.
There was a clockmaker per home, basically, per big manor house.
Incredible.
Like the queen has got their horologists sitting there all day, all week, going through all the clocks, restoring them, sorting them out, making sure the timings are right. I mean, it's so funny. We used to joke, myself and the other antiquary neurologist I used to work with, my predecessor, and we used to say, you know, you can be the most wealthy person, but the clockmaker is the person who comes into your bedroom, you know, and they are able to get into your nooks and crannies of your home and get into the back end of your home, and which doesn't happen so much today. But you got to. So what would these clocks have seen? the history that these clocks have been through.
Yeah. Interesting. That was what appeals to me somehow.
That almost flies on the wall.
Yeah, and station clocks. Yep. I don't know why. I haven't particularly kept their value, yep. but I love what they mean, and I love yep. where they're from.
So you get the station clocks, which have got what one calls a Fusi mechanism. Mm. I don't know if you know what that is. Okay. So it works basically, it's got a spring on one side, and it runs on almost a bicycle chain. Okay. And that keeps the tension of the mechanism running, so it runs at the same speed all the way down the train until it, as opposed to, so it keeps time, basically.
Yes, yes.
Doesn't lose time, doesn't gain time.
Right.
It keeps the time absolutely solid. Whereas you get a barrel mechanism, which has got two barrels with springs in it, and those you wind up, and as the springs expand or untighten, they slow down towards the end. So they were quite good timekeepers. And then you've got jeweler's regulators, of which I've got a massive one in the wall. Jeweler's regulators, which are basically jewelers and school clocks and, you know, those sort of things. They're all of the same sort of
ilk.
And then you've got bracket clocks, which are those beautiful gilded, ebonized clocks with beautiful bells, nested bells, and like they make unbelievable tunes. Westminster, Whittington, St. Michael's. Some of them have got triple chimes. Some of them have got gongs and bells. Some of them have got tubular bells. Which sounds like a church.
Yes.
I mean, not that we, you know, not that we're churchgoers, but
doesn't matter.
I'm just saying the sound of that bell is beyond, you know. And then you get some of the watches that have got repeaters, you know, or carriage clocks that have got repeaters,
where you click
the button on your watch or on the carriage clock and it repeats.
What are you wearing?
This is an Ingersoll.
Nice.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful.
It's just an easy everyday wear. I don't want to wear a Rolex.
No.
I don't want my arm to be
so
taken.
In fact, so many. I've got. So many messages. All right, so let's start. Karen M says, I have a French grandfather clock that may be close to 200 years old.
Yeah.
Before moving to my new home, I checked the height of the ceiling, and if the ceiling had been low, I would not have moved there.
Right.
I respect that.
Yeah,
I'm with 100%. You on that, Karen.
I would have
absolutely.
Done the same.
Marion says, apparently oven clocks have a completely different mechanism.
They do.
Really?
Yeah. It's because an oven clock is not really a clock. It's more of a timer.
Ah, okay. And Gail Evans says, please can we give their guests contact details? I've been looking for a real ticking clock with wheels and things I can't find. We found you one. Don't worry, Gail. We got you covered.
Lots.
And Lindy says, any chance you can fix an antique radio over 100 years old?
Possibly. I could come and have a look.
Okay. So there we go, Lindy. We will share details. And Marion says, are men more obsessed with wrist watches than women? Marion, for sure. For sure. I don't care what anybody says.
Men are more interested in wristwatches than they are in women.
I think men do like watches.
They love watches.
I mean, it sounds sexist, but I don't know that women... I think women wear watches maybe just because of a name. But
or because their husbands bought it for them.
Yes.
I think, even if you look at the watch world today,
yes.
Even on the auctions... men's watches are the ones that are valuable. The women's ones, yes, of course, if it's gold or if it's, you know, got some real provenance to it, yes, it's worth something. I mean, if Diana's watch came up for auction, absolutely it'd be worth an untold fortune.
Right.
But I think men's watches are where it's at. And it is, unfortunately, it's quite a sexist thing, but it is what it is.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? You didn't back in the day have many women clockmakers.
And you would think that you would because
you do now.
It's fine work.
Overseas you do.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Now you do.
Yeah.
Then, very seldom.
Often people, somebody passes away and they, you know, the kids are looking, you know, going, cleaning up their stuff and they have a whole lot of watches or clocks. How do they know what is of any value and what isn't?
They don't know.
Right.
And so how do you know? How do you figure it out? You either call me, okay, which I'm happy to come and chat with you about, no problem, or you check, you Google. I mean, you've got Google, you've got ChatGPT.
Yes, yes.
Don't take that as gospel.
Absolutely.
Please don't, because it's not necessarily the case. I've got lots of books and things that tell me differently. sometimes to what Google tells. And those books are predecessors to Google. So I think I'd trust those more than I would 100%. Google. So the weight, number one. If something is exceptionally heavy, then it's probably a good piece, right? And the same with a watch.
And if it's a heavy piece. If it's made from precious.
From precious stones. Mm. If it looks like gold, it probably is either gold or it is gilded, which is also good if it's from a clock perspective. If it's got a chime, don't just be in a rush to get rid of something. Just check it out. Call the professionals. Check it out. Make sure that you're doing the right due diligence. Sorry, blah, 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 blah. Get my tongue in order today. It's early. And just do it right. You know, don't just chuck it on an auction because that may not necessarily be the right thing to do. Because auctions, you're not going to get what you need to get for the things that you're supposed to get, unfortunately, today.
What is your thought on these new collaborations that have become all the rage?
Like the Swatch and AP?
Yes.
So from my perspective, the Swatch AP is a piece of rubbish. That's my opinion. Okay.
Yeah, tell us how you really feel.
And I'll tell you how I really feel. If you know me, if anyone who knows me knows that what's on my lung is on my tongue.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't buy something like that personally. Number one, you cannot repair it.
Mm-hmm.
It is a closed piece of equipment. Once it is dead, it's dead. You are not going to be able to repair it without opening it up and absolutely damaging the piece. I would not go about something like that. But I think it's a cool concept. I mean, I think what it's doing is it's bringing the old into the new age. And I think that's cool.
And I'll tell you what it also does is, and I've seen this, is it reignites a love for watches in a potentially younger generation.
100%. So maybe someone who would buy this. I mean, I've seen someone selling it on Facebook recently because I'm actually a Facebook marketplace trawler, to be honest. I've seen someone selling one for $35,000.
What?
I mean, yeah. And I think it's not. I mean, if you'd be silly.
There's
to
no
buy
inherent
it for that.
Value.
No, there's no value.
Yes.
There's a Swatch. Okay, it's got the AP name. I mean, I've got a client who's got who I'm actually seeing a little bit later today, who's actually got a real AP, a women's AP. I'm actually going to show it to you, and I want to hear your reaction on this radio station. Look at that.
Wow.
And that's 18 carat. Proper. That's similar to what Diana wore.
Wow, that's
a real
gorgeous.
Audemars Piguet.
I mean, the work.
The proper work. And then it's got the real stamp.
Oh, my word.
On the back with the real, you know, this is something that's,
on
you know,
clasp,
you know, look at the back of the.
Yeah.
Of the
absolutely beautiful. The gold work,
proper
the strap
gold.
Is.
Yeah,
it's
so
it's
if
gorgeous.
You've got that from the same maker and you've got a Swatch AP, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
Look, this is 300,000 Rand. That's
right.
A couple of thousand.
Seven, eight grand,
whatever.
Yes.
So back to the thing is that basically I think it's, I think they personally, I wouldn't buy one. I wouldn't suggest anyone buy one unless you really want to give one to your grandkid or someone young because there's no inherent value, as we've said. However, it does help with today's, you know, market.
Yes. So Henry says, I've still got my bar mitzvah watch, 61 years old.
Gee whiz. That's so cool.
What brand? What is it? Henry, give us.
And when did you last service it, man?
Yeah, we need more information. And let's have a look. Ivana says, my great uncle was an Italian prisoner of war.
Oh, wow.
He was a watchmaker in Umkomas in Natal.
Yes.
Back in the distant day. Special place in my memory.
Oh, amazing.
And Tiki says, please post the name of this interesting watchman and his details. Okay, so you want to share your details,
so,
please.
Get your pens out.
Mm-hmm.
Get your paper ready.
And I just want to say, even if you don't, you will just message us and we will share the information
Thank you.
Thanks, Howard. So please don't panic. It's a Longines, by the way, Henry's.
Okay,
Henry's
great.
Watch.
Great.
61 years old.
Very
incredible.
Nice. Very nice watch. Longines has always been good. It has something called an ETA movement in it, usually.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm Adam Pelkowitz, okay, and it's Pelkowitz, if you want it in phonetic alphabet, I'll do it as well.
They're not writing you messages.
No,
they're just going to call you.
072-422-6121. Again, 072-422-6121. 21, and you can call me the Clock Maestros.
Exactly.
And you can find me, sorry, on Instagram and Facebook.
Okay, great. Yeah. Good. I'm going to definitely give you a follow
Maestros.
For that.
I will send you my link if you want
please,
to pass it on.
Please, if you'll do that, and then we can just pass it on to anybody who would like to get
you,
that. And I see a message as well from Barry says, Pelkey was playing with spinners and springs and cogwheels since he was a toddler.
So that's Barry Strimley.
Mm-hmm.
Barry is my oldest friend. I've known Barry since we were basically born.
Oh, that is so
thanks, Doc.
Funny. Yeah, he says, love this oak.
Thanks, Doc. I love you too.
So there you go. And
awesome.
that is unfortunately where we do need to leave it, even though I can. Oh, but hold on, there's more. Brian says, I'm wearing my grandfather's Roma.
Yes.
Rota date from 1961. My first
Amazing.
Real watch was a Roma.
A Roma is a great watch. You've got the Orients, you've got the Romas, you've got the Bulovas, you've got...
Can you still get Roma in this country?
I don't know if you can get them from the dealers or anything, but I don't think you can get new ones.
I remember as maybe 13, 14, I went to get to with my mom to buy my first watch and it was in Yeovil at Zelliger whatever, and he would come out with trays
and it was
a very
it's a thing.
Oh, it was,
it makes you feel special.
Yeah, and it was, and maybe that's from there.
You know what, sorry,
I loved
just
my
on
Roma.
That note as well is that from a Zen perspective, having a movement or a sound in the house is actually a very good thing. It also apparently, according to Zen, the chimes of a clock ward away evil. So and I do believe that. I mean, I was doing something for a client recently, and she was saying, oh, it just feels like there's something alive in my home, because she lives alone. And she just, oh, this is amazing. And 90% of the time, the people who hear their chimes, and when those chimes stop, they call me and they go, there's something wrong. So they get used to it.
So many messages. Adam Pelkowitz's details.
We'll
please, we're sending
Thank you
that.
Guys.
Adam says, Michelle's Adam rocks. Amazing messages. But we do need to leave it there. Adam Pelkowitz,
thank you.